when you have a good meal outside, people don't come back. It's easy to attend your habit program. DA is bragging that they have 100% attendance. It's very easy. I think the 50% also is very easy. We are now proceeding to take the presentation from South African Revenue Services on one of their major projects. I had indicated earlier that we would also be hearing about the launch of the filing season. I've since been advised that that forms part of next week's presentation, so we are not going to be talking about the filing season. It is going to be part of next week's presentation. But here we're just going to take a quick update, which is going to take up for a very few minutes, on the implementation of the small business tax amnesty, which would be very useful for the committee to hear how it's going. We're nearing the deadline. Today is the 10th of May, and we're just a few days away from the deadline. And, it's going to be interesting to hear how we're faring. Again, the Commissioner himself is leading the delegation, Mr. Kevin Gordon, joined by Mr. Logan Woods, who is the General Manager of Communications and Corporate Relations. We've also got Mr. Nathaniel Mabetwa, who is the General Manager of Operations and Regions. Can you just take off your specs so that you can see you? And where's that? Just, you know, with your new look, I always have to find you. Mr. Franz Sobosek, a familiar face, General Manager of Economic Policy. Mr. Sobandu Kangalabu, the head of the Amnesty Unit. That place is supposed to be a restaurant. Can you check what's going on? If they're killing the chef, it means we won't eat tomorrow. And we also have Kenneth Kitoi, who's the regional manager, Housing North. There's Jenny Damo. Where's her? Kenneth? There's Kenneth and Jenny Damo, who is the regional manager, Housing North, and also Paul Mashaba, senior manager, enforcement. And welcome to the whole team. It's good to have you here. We're all yours.
Well, thank you very much, Chairperson, for this opportunity to brief you. We sit a few weeks away from the end of the process that was determined by the legislation that you passed. We all know that it started on the 1st of August. And I think it's useful to remind ourselves that this is part of two elements that we have had before the committee before, or two approaches. One is the compliance approach, where we have told you that we try to balance education, service, and enforcement. And it's quite fascinating, as you listen to my colleague, that in the amnesty process, we started with education, we then had the service element, and now, over the last couple of weeks, we're beginning to see the enforcement plans being very much part of it. And a very interesting synchronization, if you like, of the three elements as we go through and learn, because it's been a huge learning experience for ourselves, both at a management level and at the staff level. The second part of this approach is the very broadening approach, which essentially says that you could imagine South Africa population or economically active space as a series of concentric circles. The inner ones are within the tax net. They're on the tax register. And there's a large element of compliance there, and there's a significant element of non-compliance, depending on what you look at. But our task as a society is, in terms of our own history and where we come from, to move the boundaries of compliance outwards on a systematic basis. And certainly, both yourselves and the Minister of Solar Energy is providing an opportunity for us to, if you like, take one outer circle at a time. And as we go through this, we learn a lot more about what are in those outer circles, what kinds of economic activities are out there, what behaviors are people engaging in, both economically speaking and in terms of tax compliance, and what is it going to take on the part of the state and its representatives of the Revenue Service to actually bring those people on board. There's been, as you will see from some of the figures my colleagues will give you, a slow start to the process. And one of the challenges that we face is that some of the legislative provisions on issues like debt and so on will only pass through this chamber and Parliament recently, but they haven't had much of a currency in terms of the availability as a relief to the small business sector. But as you will point out later, the legislation that you passed does not make any provision for an extension as it stands. But we'll come back to that point towards the end. I think Logan Watt and Nathaniel Nabeko will take you through the presentation that you have, and then we'll be available for any questions.
Thank you, Commissioner. Thank you, Chairperson, honorable members of the committee. We rolled out this campaign from August last year and engaged since then in a range of activities and programs to both market communicate and educate small business about the tax amnesty and about the importance and the value of applying for the amnesty. Today we have to update you on the statistics that give us and give you our plans for the final 2 weeks. In a pack of slides we prepared for you, we give you a few, some four newspaper articles. There are many, but we just wanted to give you an idea of the kind of reports that we've been receiving. The first article informed us more at the start of the campaign. We focus more on information, education, and so on. The next article from the Witness gives information. It kind of reflects the stages of the campaign. The article about applying for tax amnesty or pay the price begins to show how the campaign took on a more enforcement, a more targeted approach where small businesses could see that we're no longer going to just educate in the bundle, but we're actually going to come with targeted information, and by the time we get to you, we know whether you're compliant or not, and then so offer you amnesty. That is how, as the Commissioner indicated earlier, the campaign took on, in the second half, a more dedicated, targeted approach, where in the beginning we focused on education, please come, we will help you, we want to get you legal. We later spread to law enforcement. So I said there was a good spread over the years, Chairperson of media, education, marketing, and so on, of the small business amnesty. So I will quickly just relate some of the activities and how we're going to intensify our efforts. My colleague Nathaniel Mabedwa will take you through three quick slides of the statistics, and then I will quickly update you on what we're going to do for the last 2 weeks. Now, the Commissioner already said, small business amnesty, we want to improve the compliance culture. We want to give small business an opportunity to normalize the tax affairs. They work hard to build these businesses. Not everybody has been able to keep up with the tax obligations. Some intentional, others unintentional. This is an opportunity for the clean slate and to get the businesses legal. And so our objective, as the Commissioner said, is to broaden the tax base. Our initial experience has been one when we announced this and in the first part of the campaign. One way it was received was suspicion, apprehension, what is this all about? Our outreach as education and service program has helped to ease a lot of that apprehension, and our work with the organizations representing small businesses. Some of the activities, or the activities that we engaged in for the past year then, centered around these four areas. A key area of our activity has been what we call amnesty outreach, where staff employees nationally went to business hubs in major towns, big cities and small towns, where we not only educated but also helped people to apply for that for small business amnesty. This was augmented by education seminars, workshops and training in these areas through either small business organizations or taxi organizations or through the business hubs where these businesses are located themselves. I indicated that we had extensive media and advertising campaigns, posted some pamphlets, distributed them, often in very old-fashioned community civic organization style. The commissioner is very strong on the fact that staff employees must behave like activists. And so we printed pamphlets like activists, and these staff members nationally had to go and do the work of small business amnesty like activists. Also, the stakeholder element of our campaign was very important. We had to leverage engagements with the municipality, for example, notices of the municipality goals. We had good relationships with some municipalities, websites, newsletters, and so on. And then also, in terms of in the latter part of our campaign, we developed also a good partnership with the Metro Police, Immigration and Home Affairs, and the Police Service. This particularly because in our small business outreach work, we came across a number of factors, including people running businesses that are not legally in the country, and so on, or operating without municipal authority and so on. And we were very successful in having joint operations with these other parts of government in those campaigns. So yes, we had to dedicate, those were the four broad areas around which our campaign centered. We of course, on the stakeholder side, feel that we have written to the utilizers of small business services, big companies, retail and other, who utilize small business as their supply chain. Regretfully, not all of them have been very forthcoming in helping these small businesses to become legal or in checking for themselves, and we're continuing with that engagement. The indication here is that SARS will continue, as I will say now, with our enforcement activities. And if the current suppliers to major industry are small businesses, that's not legal. And SARS will take action against them. The broader supply chain of these businesses will be affected. So we continue to encourage the big businesses to use small business as suppliers to make sure and assist them to become legal. After February this year, we intensified our approach and we then used a combination of education service and enforcement. We always said that SARS will continue to enforce where warrants of arrest and penalties and so on were awarded long before. We will continue to enforce those, and we have done so, and as a result of that, other small businesses have seen what is happening, and we have had a huge inflow of applications in the last month. Also, more targeted interventions about our data. We have now been able to, especially those outside of the tech net, been able to locate in various data forms a lot of small businesses outside of the net that we will be targeting during the last 2 weeks, but continuing to target for to become legal even after the end of small business amnesty. Our stakeholder engagement and our media coverage will continue. Just to give you an indication of the figures, I will now ask Nat to take you through the next 3 slides.
Thank you, Logan. The next slide, Jefferson, gives you a snapshot of the numbers as yesterday. So far we have 37,022 applications that we have received, and we've also given you a breakdown in terms of the different types of industries that have come to the that have applied. There is obviously, if you look at the numbers, a huge increase if you look at what the numbers were around December last year. So last year, December, we're sitting at about 14,000. As you can see, that there is a huge increase of about 23,000 in a short period of time. May I just mention a couple of things also in terms of this slide? The fact that there is room for improvement in the various areas. We are looking at the retail and wholesale. It looks, within that area there's definitely room for improvement. And specifically the taxi operators, we believe also that we are going to have an increase in terms of applications in that area. If you go on to the next slide, that gives you a graph and the uptake per week. That gives you the run rate on a weekly basis. And the three graphs that you have there are giving you an indication of the number of inquiries that we receive. And these are inquiries that we're receiving via the call center, as well as the offices where people walk in and want to inquire about small business amnesty. Then the next line gives you the application forms received per week, cumulative, and application forms issued per week. Again, generally you can see that there is an increase, as you see with the graph there going up. May I just point out that on the week ending the 28th week, you can see that the steady, keep start from that point or not, and that would represent around the time when we change the strategy as has been alluded to by for this year. The last slide on the numbers gives you a summary of the call center inquiries that we've received so far, which is 47,481. And we have also received, the inquiries, total inquiries, including those inquiries that we received from the offices. As indicated earlier, that we do receive inquiries by the call center and by the offices, and that is 96,235. Again, the number of applications received, 37,022, and applications approved so far are sitting at 5,941.
Thank you, Chair. Just to take you to the last two slides, just to be indulging for half a second, I'll just want to ask Subhanshu Langarabu, the head of the unit, to quickly just give you an idea of who we've been talking to.
Thank you, sir. Chair, in some instances, we found out that it's better to go through organized formation in the specific sector. So we then leverage that those opportunities. Just to mention a few organizations that we've worked with in accessing these small businesses. The taxi industry, all the formations, we've continued to engage and we're engaging. NAPCO, we're engaging. SAICA, on the personal side of SAICA, we are working through them. The medical association, the hair salon industry, the mobile phone industry, they are an organized body. And in some instances, we've been to mass meetings organized by some of the PTO members in their constituencies. Of this show, we can say that a lot has happened, but we still hope that we can get more out of the tech industry, because we have a lot of to spend more time in engaging.
Thank you, Subhan. As Subhan said, in our engagement, some of these organizations make huge commitments, but when it comes to delivery, they have not always delivered, and we continue to engage with them. In the next 2 weeks, Chair, we will be doubling, tripling our efforts. We expect more than 1,000 applications a day in the way that we planned. And we have for the past 2 weeks now, and we'll continue till the end of the month, including yesterday, We deploy between 3,000 and 5,000 cross officials onto the streets of the country, where we go through these small businesses in a very targeted way. So we gather information, we have information, and we go out and do the work to explain to people that if you do not apply for amnesty, these are the consequences. We ask them whether they are compliant, and in other cases we know whether they are compliant or not, and we still give them the option. So that is what we will continue to do for the next 2 weeks, mass deployment. We will continue with our outstanding enforcement actions. That means people for whom warrants have already been issued, we will continue to do that. People who are charged with fraud will back the payers in hand and are standing return. That will continue during and after the amnesty period. The legislation, as the Commissioner said, doesn't make provision for any extension. And so, we will also continue with the administration of the actual application. Finally, say in conclusion, the owners of small businesses must understand that they themselves contribute a lot to this economy. That contributes a lot to job creation. It is not in our interest to close down businesses who do not want to do that. It is important that these businesses understand that their contribution as taxpayers is just as important as voting their business. And in that regard, SARS will make it easier for them to comply, increasingly easier, help them to comply and help them to remain compliant. And in that regard, it is in their interest that they apply for this amnesty, because at the end of the amnesty period, we are going to have to continue with the enforcement, and we will. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. It's quite encouraging to see the upsurge there from the 14,000 in December to the 37,000, and we can expect more. Questions, members? Mr. Sir Alistair Davidson, Mr. Marais, Simbidi, and Mr. Bunch.
Okay, that's a very small and quick one. This light doesn't have a number. I think it's how many pages from the back. From thank you, take thank you, 2, 3, 4.
And please don't ask questions on the paper content.
That's okay. The total applications which have been received, which are 37,000 and so on, and the one which have been approved are 5,000. I want to understand when the deadline, what will be the implications for those applications which have not been approved? What will be the people know? What will be their fate? Thanks.
What percent could not be indicated, but if one looked at the total inquiries of 96,000, and then you look at the applications approved, there's a huge discrepancy there. And obviously it means there are a hell of a lot more people out there that are outside of that net. I mean, this would be the obvious intuitive deduction. How does one in fact go about bringing these people into this? Because I would assume you've now got some information about them. Or when they make inquiries, was it totally on a confidential or an anonymous basis? And then the second question, and I see that, and that is, from the 96,000 of inquiries, you actually get 37,000 applications, but only 5,000 are the participants. Now, what happens to the other 31,000 in that respect? And then going back two slides, what struck me is that in looking at the grand total of 57,000, taxi operators are 5,200. Now, just through reading, one comes across the view that there must be something like 100,000 taxi operators in this country. Why is there such a low return as far as that's concerned? Or are many of those taxi operators already registered? And the question that also arises out of that, I mean, in respect of accounting and attorneys, the problem of where receipts and invoices have to be made, receipts given, very easy to measure the compliance of that entity once it is registered. But how does one begin to measure a cash-based transportation business like that? I would be fascinated to find out, because to me it would be almost impossible, because you have people riding around in taxis, counting the number of people, and if you're doing space in the taxi. So just the same as a matter of fact.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, funny enough, mine is more or less the same as my good colleague. I was looking at security services, and it's only 245, and we know that that has been one of the industries that has boomed. So that sounds a bit funny enough for me. And risky as well. Then, in terms of the questions that have been asked about that difference, and only the 5,900 that have been approved so far, I wonder if you can maybe explain to us the process. When you receive that application, and obviously the process of that, what how long does it take? What do you look for? And it obviously linked to the previous questions, also about what happens to those people that have not been approved. Thank you very much, sir.
Thanks, Chair. The questions are a little bit similar. Applicants, 37,000. I need to ask here, is this number, or is it South happy with this number? Or maybe to rephrase the question, one supposes that before this, all this program was embarked upon, a survey should have been made. What was the target? What is the sub target? How far have you gone? What is 37,000 cost to in terms of percentage? As a member of parliament, knowing the legal that this country is going through, talking of the rural of the rural area. I understand I understand when the commissioner says the legislation does not provide for any extension. Supposedly a person in Bushbuck Ridge, in Wanungo, Mabazi Mata, honestly speaking, has never even heard about this. Doesn't have a television, does not have any access to the media, PayPal, anything else. The radio, to some extent. Then what would be the process? I'm being careful here. I'm not saying, because I know, Commissioner, that people will come up with lame excuses. But I'm also mindful of the fact that among those there will be just genuine cases. What is the position? Thank you.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, now the activists will tell you how far they went. it's not an easy task, I know, and when Savannah speaks, I really feel for him because I know where he has been. A response is just immediately indicated that the questions are more or less the same, which makes the work even much easier for me. But also, perhaps a similar question was asked, because it's very, really, really to do too. My humble apologies to you.
I would like to hear my friend Jim and to know what's going on. Now, I think all business and people don't know what's going on. They are wise people. So, but the point is that you've got to convince them
to come to the party, you know. And of course, this will go a long way to help them. I'm sure that the commissioner and his team will come up with a proposal on how to reach for, but I don't think anybody don't know what's happening. Everybody knows. I like to look at it in a more positive way. And that, you know, when we're focusing on saying that there's so many more people to leave. But I mean, if you look at that 37,000, let's assume applicants have received, applications have received 37,000, and all are approved, okay? Immediately, and at the rate of 1,000 rand, their business, you're looking at 37 million rand. 2,000 would be roughly about 34,000. 3,000 goes over 100 million. So effectively, it means that the people are going to come into the net that would never have come into the net. And hence, it really increases the base for population and for collecting. And as they move up, you know, the business improve, you'll be staying much more. So I'm saying that effectively, you must compliment SARS because I don't think anybody else would have ventured into business. You have to be very, very creative in terms of doing what. The challenges are huge. People, while you are looking, we went on a walkabout. And whilst you were talking to the people, you found that the business is truly disappeared from the team and put their front foot in there in front, you know, and they won't talk to you, but they will pretend they are not there, you know. So it's quite a tricky situation. But I think I would look at it very, very positively and turn it around and say, look, he's showing that there's lots and lots of scope for improvement. That, and in terms of the staff, that the taxi operators, taxi drivers, we know common sense tells us that we're only playing at the top of the iceberg. But once it begins to melt, I think that the South Africa as a whole can benefit. And even those people who are not playing, you can go to bed in peace. You know, the grannies and everybody else can sleep in peace. They know if the policeman comes around and they're teaching them at night. And some of us know what we're talking about because it has been a brutal state, you know, that the numbers have come from when you see the police force, etc. in the neighborhood. So I'm sure that staff starts going through it and they're very, very sensitive and they'll handle it, you know, calmly. And I think, good luck, I think you're making good progress there. But of course, it's going to be a battle. You still get those guys running away from you, but take it easy, don't be too fast.
Thanks,
Mr. Bunker. Just one question as a follow-up to that one.
No, but you can't even respond to it. Okay, the follow-up to Bunker's comment.
I'll give to Mr. Bunker's comment.
Okay.
It would be interesting to know, Chairman, if you've done any sort of projection from the 5,900 applications received, if those entities ever been in the tax net, what would your tax offtake have been?
Okay, so got a question.
Let's start with the David's question. We haven't done that yet. We've been too busy on the same, but we need to do that, and we'll get some interesting feedback. There is a proportion developing between those in the net who haven't been making full disclosure or not coming to the party and making full disclosure. That's about, at the moment, 60% of the overall applications, and then the completely new ones that are coming in. All the signals from practitioners seem to indicate also, and we need to take that into account, that when they seem to be approached about this, say last year, they basically left it on the site base or site table, and only now are beginning to process requests for assistance that they would have received from the public because they've had other priorities according to them. So there's something that's going to happen between now and the end of May. In terms of whether there was a, if you don't mind, Chairman, to answer questions that seem to be related to each other. What is the target? It's a difficult question because that universe is not known to anybody. And that is why my colleague, the statistician general, trying to get a handle what's kicking in this economy. We all know it seems to be doing a lot better than it's ever done before. Numbers of cars, people, shopping malls, and so on, that's coming up. But what's actually, if you like, kicking in this particular sector has been beyond that. But now, you know, we have 3,000 odd people in SARS who are getting on a weekly basis a better feel for different market spaces, if you like, and that's throughout the country. And once we get time to collate that information, we'll get some sense. I would guess that the universe is somewhere between 50,000 and 100,000. Remember, there will be lots of other businesses operating. They are not immediately the ones that we want to bring into the net, vendors that are operating off the pavements and so on and so on. That's one of the outer concentric circles that I will describe to you. What we're looking at is the immediate one or two circles around the currently registered and the currently visible on the tax base itself. And ultimately, as many societies have shown, this is a process that goes over 10 or 15 years or more, depending on the pace of economic growth and the level and balance between formalization and informalization. Because it doesn't appear after one or two visits by us or one amnesty. I think what we require historically is that it's a nice peak now, so that we get a bit of a flood in, and that in itself begins to create some momentum. And then, as some of the honorable band members have pointed out, we might need some mechanism which enables us to bring people on board. So at a higher level, you have the whole, I don't know what it is now, section 88 or 107, which says that the revenue service now has the ability, if we meet certain criteria, to reach a settlement to the taxpayer, which we couldn't do before. There's also a provision which you've passed which allows for a voluntary disclosure. So it doesn't quite say how we resolve it beyond that point. You've now, as part of this measure, said we can do away or write off or forgive certain types of debt. So that begins to help as well. So arising from this experience, we're all going to learn, and some new technique is going to develop. The balance between the 96,000 and the 37,000, that clearly is the gap between the interested ones and those that have actually taken the initiative already. Some of those 97, 98 were practitioners. Some of them might be already on the register, but they want to just check whether they are transgressing or not, and whether they qualify or not. That's still a question people ask in the field. And others might still be in the pipeline. So I'm afraid we'll have to wait for the end of this process to really establish what's going on. As far as the process is concerned, how do we, once we receive the form, what do we do? Perhaps the banker can cover that very quickly.
So the process is like this. We have, first when we came here, I think in October last year, we said we had 6 processing centers right across the country. KZN, Western Cape, South Western Cape, Free State, Eastern Cape, Gauteng Institute, Gauteng North, Gauteng South. So all the other provinces we see into this. For instance, Limpopo, Mpumalanga, Northwest, into Gauteng North for processing. So all the application forms received in those provinces by the office of the frontline are batched and sent over to Gauteng North for processing. Gauteng South is also where so far away from Krugersdorp and Randfontein, Vereeniging, who send their forms as well to Gauteng Central, which is the 6th. Realizing that we had backlog, we then opened another center in Gauteng South. So all the Gauteng South applications from then go to Krugersdorp. So we've got 7 processing centers. So you receive application forms from the front office, you batch them, and then you send them to the center. So that would indicate for them in the front that applications are involved in the state. When you calculate end of the day, you say we receive 200. But at the back, you would say 150 because that seat is still en route to the back office. Once you get in there, the front end office will check with the back office, which is the processing center. When the seat is confirmed, it gets straight to the comments and at the step. There will always be a difference saying the things that
what you will see in Brahman really is typical of the Tathagata. So it's where that we will get the process. Here we all know, professor know what the commissioner said as well, that this is a different market. In France, we said, we have to change the application form without partition. And in our view, that is an application form. We cannot be rejected because it was given by. It puts pressure on our resources to say, let's change the financial at least before May 31st so that we've got the forms in place and these people realize that they are going to get or not to get on it.
Now, could you like to explain the pending issue? And that explains the gap between 37 and 5 in some ways. So, yes, part of what Subhanju has said touches on the fact that we have quite a number of applications that are currently sitting in the pending state. What it means is that these are applications that have some data missing. So what we do is we have a follow-up process that ensures that we can get the data that is missing, or alternatively get the taxpayer or the applicant to come forward and actually give us or complete the form on the spot. So in other words, this 5,000 are approved, there will be another few thousand that have the necessary documentation and supporting material, and the next 1,000 of that 37,000 that have just the application but not the supporting information yet. And rather than send them away, we said we'll accept your application as an application, and then in the period after May, we will still follow up. And so as far as we are concerned and they are concerned, they've lost their application. And where possible, we will assist them to put in the necessary information and then take that into consideration in the process of completing our own assessment of the application. So, and this was a decision taken midway. After initially we wanted everything, and then it became clear that there were difficulties that people were having in delivering the substantiating information. And my colleagues made the decision that fine, we will then apply greater flexibility. And that will still invite a lot more people into the net itself. So, honorable member on my left doesn't have to worry your heart. If there are honest endeavors and honest mistakes, and that's part of the compliance model that we work with, then our job is to assist people and to encourage them to comply. Where there's rank evasion, I'll refer you to my colleague at the back in a moment, Mr. Mashallah. He can tell you what they're doing with those sorts of evidence. Mr. Watt, is there anything that you want to take on?
Sorry, I'm not sure if Commissioner really requested the text. With regard to the taxi industry, it's quite interesting because we do have a significant number of taxis that are registered. And we have, through the local structures of taxis and taxi owners individually, we've had groups of taxis applying in groups. For example, Commissioner, you don't know this yet, but we just had a call today for 88 taxis in Kruger's Gulf that want you to come and give them the But we have these groups of advocates, not a demand, they say they would like that. But we have these groups of
people. Those want the commissioner himself to go there and commit himself that they are actually going to accept that, or just to hand over the leaf. Oh.
And it's about hand over letters, and it's a ceremony, because it's very important. I think we don't go from the assumption that people don't want to become legal. And where taxi operators have become legal, it's been a very important occasion for them, and this handover of the where Amnesty is granted has been a very important part of what we do. It also gives impetus to others. Because there's also some confidence issues. Is this thing real or are they trying to catch us situation? But with regard to the taxes itself, we do have a number on register and then we have those not on register. The one challenge we do have obviously relates to the taxi recapitalization. On the one hand, the taxi recapitalization makes provision that you must be registered for tax. But you can be registered for tax but you could be non-tax compliant, but you can show you registered. And that has been the gap in the process that we and the Department of Transport are trying to sort out, and the Commissioner can comment on some of our efforts there. And so while there's been a lot of taxis registered, the issue of registration versus tax cleared has been the kind of difference in the way that part of the work has been handled. But yes, there's a lot more taxis that must come into play. The taxi organizations, because they've also got issues among themselves, we've met with both, with Santalco certainly on a national level, and there's some commitments from them, and we're pushing them to give more. And the National Taxi Alliance we've engaged with at a decentralized level, we've not really succeeded in getting them at a national level, but we continue with those efforts.
In the course of next week's show, we will continue the efforts to meet with leadership in each of these sectors. Remind them of the commitments that they've made, because we've met them earlier last year after the minister announced his intention to grant us amnesty, and we thought we had some understanding with them. And I think it's important for you as a committee to also have a command of the dynamic that plays itself out. You meet, you talk, you try to establish goodwill, you think you have an understanding, and the delivery time comes. There's a gap between leadership commitment and actual delivery on the ground, which I'm sure you understand as well. And to extend the point that one of my colleagues was making, it would be nice if all members of Parliament, for example, in the next couple of weeks, also use their constituency offices to extend the message on the amnesty, or make it aware there are groups that we can actually speak to. We will send our people there, and either to speak to them or both to speak to them and assist them in terms of filling in these applications. I think we've answered most questions except the one on the how do you measure cash-based business. That's a challenge in both developing and developed countries, interestingly. And I think it was initially in countries like Sweden and France, where tax administrations and policymakers were contemplating presumptive taxes. And only one of those cases was actually implemented, because you don't have a measure on what restaurants make, for example. And so you say 20% presumptive tax on the stock that you purchase. And because we can't figure out what's floating around in cash and what's in credit card and what's in your bank account and what's not in your bank account. So this is one of the imponderables in our society as well. And it's not only, if you like, the lower levels of economic activity that are engaging in cash-based activity. You would have medical practitioners who will collect their dues in cash. You would have artisans collecting their dues in cash. You yourself, and others, I'm sure, would call in an electrician or a plumber, and the guy will say, give me a cash check. Right? And do you really need a VAT invoice, or you don't? And invariably, there's no VAT number there. So that the cash business itself is quite a challenging one, and I don't think anybody's got on top of it, save to the extent that you can walk the street, get some sense of the nature of economic activity and the quantum of activity going on, and then get a measure of what you think is actually due. And some countries work on that basis. So there are developing country examples where, if you like, taxes negotiated. You seem to sell 100 loaves of bread and 200 liters of milk and so on and so on. So it looks like you are making X amount. Now, can we agree that you will pay Y? On a monthly basis or whatever, but at least be there in the net, and those are issues that I think post-amnesty we need to look at as well, in terms of the flip side of this process. How do we make things easier for small business, and reduce the number of forms and the kind of compliance burdens and the red tape that we actually impose upon them? So there is a parallel process, as the minister announced in the budget this year, which is looking at that area.
Well, thank you very much.
Anything else we can help you with? Can I ask my colleagues and I'm very eager to share with you what it is with you to take 2 minutes each.
Go ahead.
The lady first, the gentleman.
Okay.
Honorable members, my name is Jane Damon. I'm responsible for the Counting South area. This is not geographically marked on our current provincial map. It's in terms of Francis Counting South, which is the West Range, but you know, and in the Far East Range, which is Nigel Springs and Brecken, and then also Soweto area. That's my area of responsibility. What we have done...
And you're not proposing a constitutional amendment.
No, not at all.
Okay, in that aspect, I was going to say, maybe SARS, which prompted the thing of the reduction of a province. Because that was better than the other.
Go ahead.
Thank you. What we've done is we've taken our team members and we've dedicated them to focus on education and to focus them on selling amnesty to the small businesses initially as a start-off point. We then moved on to, and we went into stakeholder engagement, which covered stakeholders as previously mentioned by Vice Bantu, which is Abiyata, the taxi associations. We've covered various stakeholders, and what we've also done is we've realized that in our walkabout that some of the businesses is pretending, like one of the honorable members indicated, they are owners, but they would pretend that they're not the owners. We then realized that we need to come back with a more forceful kind of action, which increased and assisted us in increasing our number of applications. We then looked at joint operations with the intergovernmental departments and we started engaging with them, and we would go out on what we call as raids. We also looked at the initial start of our teams, where our focus was on education, then we moved to getting applications. We then we then went out, got applications, and our focus was on going as far as we can. We then realized that the number of applications coming isn't growing the way we would like it to grow. We then increased it to an extent where we now have an increased number of our team members out in the field. Thank you.
Thank you. Good luck.
He's the warlord of South and North.
Part of the issues, I think we equally found the repetition, as the commissioner and Mr. Watkins alluded to. You will always find a discrepancy in the figures, because as my colleague next to me has alluded to, during the first stages of the amnesty, we have thrown a lot of resources in making sure that we educate and create awareness among our people regarding amnesty. What we have been awakened to is that there are so many quarters of our society that are ignorant and that don't know about tax. So we had to make a concerted effort to make sure that before we could come to the enforcement part, that we reach out and make sure that they are aware. One thing that we have learned in the field, we have learned that there is quite a greater need for a much more vigorous interaction amongst the different state departments in South Africa. For instance, we find that many sectors of our economy, for example, your flea market, are dominated by foreign nations, some of them illegally so in the country. And of course, I'm sure you would agree with me, Chair, for a body like this to be able to raise that awareness, to say how do we close the loopholes that are there, so that people, we can know that people that are inside are making a living in South Africa, deriving such living in a more legal manner. I think I'll tell it there. I'm sure the Commission is going to allude to that in his closing statement.
Mr. Mashaba is a representative of the enforcement side of the business, and he's been very active in the past few weeks as well. So, give you some examples of the kind of things they do.
Thank you, Shabbatan. Obviously, the problem that we are facing in the small business is a problem that they faced many years ago. Obviously, it would have been very anxious for us to accept the behavior and that the sector to change immediately. But that didn't just maybe stick to the point. The point is, I think the Commissioner has alluded, Shabbatan, to the SARS sometimes, which is very clear. We're looking at the education conference that has taken place many times. I mean, we've educated them, we've been communicating with the marketing of the brand. But unfortunately, we have a small group of people that also just not want to listen. So my job is very simple. This is just to remind them and ensure that they actually listen. It is a mammoth task in such that I've got to continuously remind myself of the fact that not everybody is a criminal. I've got to create a balance between, you know, understanding that we haven't very far, understanding the political imperatives and many more other things, and ensure that we leverage all these aspects of compliance model equipment, that your education, your service component, but initially the enforcement component. But just to give you a practical example, We've been to the Eastern Cape. We are now currently in the Western Cape area. You would have seen that the number of people that here have been caught, there have been a few enforcement interventions that have taken against certain individuals. So, yeah. And just to be simple specifically, Mr. Shepherdson, what we did was we also went to our register and we looked at upstanding the terms for an example. We looked at our debt book in terms of the waiver component also of the acts. And on our study of the terms, here you'll find that some of them have been issued, the warrants of funds that have been issued. And we pick up few, just to set an example, because we're very lenient already on small businesses. If you want to go out there and get them, we can just do that tomorrow. But we understand where we're coming from, we want to recognize the sector sales, and we've been very lenient, but we'll continuously use the stick here and there, but I don't think that's the last intention. So if you hear of some of the things that we'll be doing, you should just bear with us. There's another way of reminding them that they have to take this again.
The committee is fully in support.
I think the member of the warlord went to the wrong
country. In conclusion, Chair, for the next 3 weeks, we'll still have 3,000 to 5,000 people staffed in the field each week. And this happens on a single day. So we'll choose a particular day of the week, and that week is also to happen on a countrywide basis. There will also be the standard enforcement action a few times a week in a particular area. And that's on a very legitimate legal basis. We're not breaking kneecaps at all. And we're trying to be obedient to the Constitution. I must underline that one of the very encouraging things that you'd like to know about is the intergovernmental cooperation that has been generated. Commissioner Salebi and ourselves have talked about support from the police service, and in every one of these sort of mass activities on the ground, we've had the Sulawesi police service and where they've been present, the Metro police with us. And that makes a huge difference, both in perception terms and in the level of cooperation that you get if a police officer is with you. Of course, we are not armed people. So we also move into difficult terrain where our own staff would be getting themselves into trouble, but that cooperation is invaluable. And in several instances, both the police and the Department of Home Affairs have also been with us in respect of foreigners and so on. The next point is on practitioners. We are engaging them actively again, and we hope that they will come to the party and speed up their work so that more applications come in. So I think there's a fair amount that's stuck in that pipeline. And lastly, our approach to foreign persons who don't have legitimate status here, or even if they have it. And that attitude is simply, if you're making money in South Africa and if it's taxable, then you must pay your tax. What your status is and so on, you sort out with the Department of Home Affairs. If they're there, they'll sort it out for you. But if you're economically active in this country, and if you're making money to the extent where tax is due, then you must pay your tax as well. So we, in the early stages of that process, you know, we've been walking about, so to speak, for a long time, which now gives us a better feel. We're trying to produce pamphlets in Chinese and other languages so that the common excuse which some of you have met personally is I don't speak English. And the minute you reach that block, then that's the end of the communication that actually happens. Ultimately, I think what the minister also has in mind is that we require a massive business registration reform in South Africa, where all businesses are required to register, but in a minimal red tape sense. There's a single registration number, there's a single business register that just affects South Africa. People can do their work off that register as well, so can any other government entity. And this is something that even in developed countries like New Zealand, Canada, and Australia has taken place over the last, say, 10 years or so, where they will take the entire business population and say, re-register. In the case of Australia, they gave each of them what they call an Australian business number. This was in the early 2000 period. But it took about 3 years for them to actually run through this campaign. So it's something that, as South Africans, we need to look at quite seriously in terms of creating a new platform of legitimacy for businesses in South Africa. And lastly, the team that you see here today is working extremely hard, and you'll be very proud of them. In terms of the innovation and the right kind of activism that they display. And it'll be good to see you after the 31st of May. You should be aware that the minister has had some requests from some of the organizations that Sabandu mentioned for an extension, but that's in the minister's court, so you'll understand if I can't comment on that. And thank you very much for the hearing.
Okay, can I comment you on that at the moment? Would actually send the wrong sentence. I'm saying commenting on the extension at this moment would also send the wrong sentence. On behalf of the committee, I thank you for cooperating. And we start at the next week. We'll be telling us that you've actually doubled the number, and that big volumes of the good work that you're doing. And thanks for also bringing people that are actually on the ground doing what some of us think is impossible. When we get there, we realize that there are real human beings that are engaged in this thing and putting all in. And we thank you for the hard work that you do with your chin. And good luck once again. And back in 5 days.